And we're in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. We're going to look at it in two chunks. The first chunk is page 1174, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read 11 to 13, and then we're going to have a little look at that together. 11 to 13, Ephesians chapter 2, page 1174. I see Apostle Paul writing, and he says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." We're going to look at that first barrier in this first part of the talk, the barrier that separates us from God. And to help us do that, if you can and feel able to, chat to the person next to you or around you and answer these two questions. What is a barrier? And can you name some examples? A couple of minutes. What is a barrier? Can you name some examples with those around you if you feel able to? Off you go. A barrier is something that separates us or separates people. It's something that stops us getting into somewhere. My son at the front said the stairgate that stops our little Thomas, who can now go upstairs, from potentially falling and breaking his neck, which would be sad. A face mask is a barrier, but it protects us from others. A curtain stops light from getting in. These are all barriers. This passage is about barriers. About the barrier between us and God and the barrier between us and one another. Jesus breaks down both barriers. And the reason we see that is because Paul is talking to a church that has got two very separate groups of people who had this big barrier between them. And it's a little bit like the story of the Smeds and the Smoos. Put your hands up if you know that story. Some of you do. I'm going to enlighten your life by telling you this story. In the story, the Smeds and the Smoos, there is two groups of people. And they're represented by these two individuals, one called Janet, who's a Smed, one called Bill, who's a Smoo, and they like each other. But their families do not want them to be friends. Janet was told, and this is where I need audience participation. You guys, for the purposes of this, are Smoos and you're Smeds, okay? So when your bit comes up, you need to read it. Your bit's going to be in red, just to help you. Your bit's going to be in blue. You with me? Yes, AJ, you are. So Janet was told, here it comes. Oh, that's not in red. That's sad, isn't it? Well, you're Reds. Do you know what to say? Janet said, never, never play with the Smoos. They sleep in holes. They wear strange shoes. They jump about like kangaroos. Never, never play with the Smoos. This is what Bill was told. Bill was told this. Never, never play with the Smeds. They have strange hair upon their heads. They sleep in funny things called beds. Never, never play with the Smeds. Smeds and Smoos were separate. They never played. They never mixed with each other. And in our passage, Paul is talking to two types of people who never mixed. The Gens, which is you guys, and the Jews, which is you guys. And Paul describes the Gens, you guys, in not a great state. Do you see how you were described in verse 12? You are separate from Jesus, not in God's special people, without hope, without God in the world. It is not a great thing to be a Gen, aka a Gentile. You guys, you're very happy. You're part of the Jews. You are God's special people. You've got all the promises to Abraham. You have hope. You have God. It's all good for you, the Jews. But in the Bible, these two groups didn't get on. There was a barrier between them. And you saw that when they ate together, because they never ate together. They specifically did not eat together. Because in those times, if you ate with someone, it showed that you were friends with them. It showed that you wanted to be seen with them. Jews and Gentiles did not mix. They did not eat together. They did not spend time with each other. So in the Bible, the Jews were told this, never, never eat with the Gens. And the Gentiles were told this, never, never eat with the Jews. So if you were a Gentile and you actually wanted to go and worship God in the temple, you weren't even able to be in the same place as the Jews. You had to stand out there in the car park, relatively speaking, the courtyard it was in those days. And yet look what happens in verse 13. It all changes. Jesus changes everything. Firstly, because Gentiles, which I guess is probably most of us, can come near to God. Before, we were far away. We were separated from God because of our sin. But because of Jesus, Paul says, we are brought near to God. We can have a relationship with God. And that can be anybody. Anybody can have a relationship with God. You don't have to have a religious background or family. You don't even have to have been to church before. You don't even know what's. Don't even have to know what's in the Bible. You don't have to obey your parents or your boss this week. Paul says, because of Jesus, anyone can be brought near to God. And we know that because when Jesus died on the cross, this happened. The curtain was torn in two. In the temple in Jerusalem, there was this massive curtain that basically blocked everybody from coming to God because of their sin. And when Jesus' blood was shed on the cross, that curtain at the same time tore in two to show that anyone could come to God. The barrier between us and God had been broken down forever. You and I can have peace with God. But that still leaves this barrier. Whilst we might all be able to have peace with God, how does Jesus sort out this barrier? And after we've sung, we're going to find out how he does it. Right, we're going to look at the next part of Ephesians, that passage. We're going to look at 14 to 18. So if you've closed your Bible, it's 1174. It'll come up on the screen. I'm going to read 14 to 18 and see how Jesus breaks down barrier two. For he, that's Jesus, himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. You're going to need your thumbs up or thumbs down cards. If you haven't got one, you can use your thumb. If you haven't got a thumb, use your finger. Okay? Some things are going to come up on the screen. You've got a choice whether you love it or not. Okay? If you love it, you're going to use your thumbs up. If you don't love it, thumbs down. You have to choose one. You can't not show your thumb. Okay? Pitch is going to come up on the screen. There's no judgment here. You can just say what you feel. Football, love it or not. Okay? I'm not even looking up. I'm not even going to look. Marmite. Yeah, that's right. Brussels sprouts. Yeah, you're missing them already. I know you are. Tuna sandwiches. Oh, that looks interesting. Strictly Come Dancing. It divides everyone. School. Possibly not that school. That looks a little bit formal, but like school. And then last but by no means least, and be careful because we're on YouTube, the Queen's Speech. Okay. Put them down. You're done for now. In all seriousness, though, there are many things that divide us and create barriers between us. And they're slightly more important than most of those. Our views on COVID, how the government's handled it, what we should be doing or not. We're divided on that. We're divided on what football team we support, if we even support a football team. We're divided on what the Bible says about different teaching. We're divided on when life begins and when life ends. At its worst, being divided causes pain and hurt and anger and horrible things being done to one another. And you don't need me to tell you that history is full of examples of this, where division has caused those things. And yet what we see in this passage is this amazing news that Jews and Gentiles, people like us, can both be brought to near to God because of Jesus. But not only that, Paul says Jesus can make peace between each other. There's this beautiful moment in the Smeds and the Smoos where Bill and Janet are united with their families and they all live together. All the differences and things that separated them suddenly went away and they could live together in harmony. And Paul says that exactly the same thing can happen between us. Those things that keep us apart, that hurt each other, that cause division, can be taken away. In the context of this passage, it was the law. The law kept Jews and Gentiles apart. God's law had been set up to keep the Jews separate, to show that living for God meant living in a way that pleased him. But because of Jesus' perfect life and death, Paul says that those laws that kept Jews and Gentiles apart have been broken down, have been destroyed, so that Jesus has done everything that we need, not just to be forgiven by God, but so that we can be forgiven and accepted by each other. And so if we have peace with God, it means we shouldn't have any barriers with each other. And this is where I need my expert duty team, who are going to take these barriers away. You've probably been thinking to yourselves, what do these people look like? What are they wearing? What aren't they wearing? Who knows? Because of Jesus, the barriers that separate Jews and Gentiles have been taken away. And when Jesus brings peace between Jews and Gentiles, he makes us into a new people. Look down with me at verse 19. This is where we're going to finish. Consequently, because Jesus has made peace between us and God and peace between each other, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. You can wave at each other if you like. But fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. You see, when we put our trust in Jesus, we become a new person with a new family. We have God as our Father and we become his children. One family. And it doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't matter what views we have on Marmite or football, or even politics, because the peace that Jesus brings is stronger and lasts longer than whatever separates us. So here's what I thought it might mean for us as we go into this year, and it could mean lots of things, but here's one thing I thought it might mean for us. We might be tempted to think that church is all about spending time with people who are like us. Perhaps you have the same interests, or like the same music, or in the same age and stage in life. And yet, can we see that church is a much bigger thing than that? It's about God's family, with every single barrier being broken down, so that we spend time with each other, old and young, married, widowed, or single. Whatever country we're from, whatever background we're from, they don't define who we are. Our past doesn't define who we are. It doesn't separate us from God. And it doesn't have to separate us from each other. So here's a little challenge for us this year. I think we're going to have coffee shortly. I think we are. Is that right? We're having coffee shortly? Someone refreshment-wise nod at me. I think we are, aren't we? Great. Thank you. When we get to coffee, it would be really easy for us to go and just speak to the people we know. Speak to those who we have interests with. Speak to those who we get on with, perhaps. And I'm not saying we shouldn't speak to those people. But actually, this passage reminds us we're one big family. So why not spend some time this year getting to know some of your family members that you don't know so well? Perhaps some that you've never spoken to. And isn't it great that as we can meet here together, we've got the guys at Christchurch Wyre Forest joining us online as a church family in a different place, but still brothers and sisters in Christ, just as we are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a small expression that even though we're in different places, all over the world, not just Wyre Forest, We are still one family because of what Jesus has done for us.